brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the song they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name.
Of every race,
thank you, Lord,
shall behold his face,
thank you, Lord,
and with him will enter heaven's city.
I believe it, don't you?
Ever to reclaim, what a lovely name.
Oh, let's sing, let me sing it.
You're so good to see you tonight. Now, unlike Brother Joel, you can be my favorite group tonight because you're here. And I'm going to say that overall because Joel got in a world of trouble over making a statement. But for tonight, you're the favorite group. Praise the Lord. Look around at somebody, give them a nice smile, and tell them, God bless you, my brother, my sister. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit more of that tonight, Brother Harry. Say that verse for me again, if you would. Oh, that's a good song. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. What a time that we're living in to be able to trust in that name. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. You give him a good hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Sing that verse for me, buddy.
Oh, soon he'll come in clouds of glory.
Amen.
Saints of every race,
oh,
shall behold his face, and with him will enter.
Amen.
Heaven's city.
Amen.
Ever to acclaim.
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's so good to be in church on Saturday night. Here it is, the 4th of July, and all kinds of celebrations and picnics and all things going on. But
I can't think of a better place in the world to be than right here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at some prayer requests. If you don't care, just remain standing, Brother Mark Larry, if you get ready to pray over these knees tonight. Brother George Hamlin wants us to continue to pray for his niece Angela in Arizona. She has double pneumonia and COVID-19. She is in the hospital and very sick. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Angela Boyd tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Melvin, well, that's an announcement. We'll get to that just in a second. Chester Higgs sends this in. Prayer request for my daughter, Jackie May. She's been asthmatic for many years. It flares up once in a while. The last time that it flared up and the sinus swelling went down, she lost the hearing in one ear. I'm asking the saints to please pray for her, as she is the piano player in her church, and the loss of hearing in that ear creates some difficulties. May God bless you. So we certainly pray for that need tonight. Want to remember, Brother Byron Palmer sends this in to please remember him in prayer tonight. He's having some sinus problems. Also remember his cousin Lisa Dora in the hospital in Gadsden, Alabama, with pneumonia and several other medical issues. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Want to remember the Goulds family, the Yonts family, Sister Alex's, her side of the family, all those folks that's involved and touched by the loss of Sister Alex. Let me make this announcement while we're standing. The family of Alex Goulds will gather to greet friends and share memories on Tuesday, July the 7th, 2020, at the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ from 4 until 7 p.m. A funeral service will follow at 7 p.m. with Pastor Donnie Reagan officiating. Committal services will be held over here at Happy Valley Memorial Park on Wednesday, July the 8th. And if I'm not mistaken, is that at 11 o'clock, Brother Rocky, at 11 a.m.? So remember that if you can be here on Tuesday to show your support for the families. I know it would be certainly appreciated. And we just continue to hold them in our prayers that God would comfort their hearts. This announcement, Brother Melvin Lynch sends in. There will be a trustee meeting in the upstairs nursery immediately after tonight's service. So remember that. Brother Mark, God bless you. Come and pray over these needs. You have an unspoken need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit it all unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Mark, don't we? Bless you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we gather around your table once more tonight, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to come in a supernatural way here, Father. And dear Lord, there's many, Lord, that need a touch from you, Father. My own little wife, Lord, she needs a touch, oh God. But Lord, you came down in humanity, Lord. You know the feelings, Lord Jesus. You know the pain, Lord, that we're going through, Lord. And Father, your prophet even said that cancer can't stand in the way. Lord, and Brother Ron Spencer's a living testimony of that, Father. We thank you for what you've done in his life, Lord. But Father, there's many needs in our church, Lord, our streaming church, Lord, our other group, Lord. We just know, Father, that you're in control of all things, Lord. And Father, we see the time drawing near, Father, when you would draw us home, Lord. We just pray for more faith, Lord. We pray that you'll take us up another step in that ladder tonight, Lord, and draw us closer to you, Lord. Put us in your hands, Lord, and keep us there, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, Lord. And we just pray for the service tonight, Lord. I just pray you'll bless our pastor, Lord. And dear God, speak through him, Lord, and give him unction, Lord, from you, Lord. I know you've already talked to him, Lord, and told him what to preach tonight, Father. And Lord, I just think of the Goulds family, Brother Phil and Sister Cheryl and Brother Ben, Lord, and the Yonces, Lord. I just pray that you'll send a comforting angel, Lord, to that family, Lord, Sister Alex, Lord's family. Father, just pray for all them, Lord, and this time coming up on Tuesday, Lord, would you just be there in their presence, Lord, as this service progresses, Lord. We thank you, Father, for coming tonight. We thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together, Lord, for there's strength in numbers, Lord. And Father, we know we can pray in our bed, in our cars, in our couch, Lord, when we say our prayers, Lord. But there's nothing like coming together in the strength of the bride together, Father. And We just ask you, Lord, to come in a supernatural way. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. And we do want to say to all of our streamers tonight, our congregation, and all folks around the world that stream in this service, we pray that this service will be a great blessing to them. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. 10,000 years. We'll just be getting started. You believe that tonight? Folks, it's more real than we're standing here, where we're headed. I'm glad to be going to that place, aren't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight.
Me and the song leader get on the same page here. Soon I'll come to the end of life's journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me.
Thank you, Father.
I want to thank
him. We'll want to thank him.
And
sing tonight. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll fall down and we'll lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Only thing I can think of when I get there, that I can think of now on this side, is just want to thank Him for bringing somebody like me to a place like that. He brought somebody like you to a place like that. Don't you appreciate His grace? Don't you appreciate what He's done for you? Is He the best thing that ever got a hold of you? Praise the Lord. We'll fall down and we'll lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Sing it, Brother Harry.
The greatness of mercy and love.
Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace.
We'll cry.
But the glory of your majesty is the mercy in your eyes. And worthy uncreated one, from heaven to earth come down. You laid aside your royalty to wear a sinner's crown. And O great God, be glorified, our lives laid down, yours magnified. And O great God, be lifted high, there is none like you. Jesus, Savior, God's own Son, risen, reigning Lord, sustainer of the universe by the power of your word. And when we see your matchless face, in speechless awe we'll stand, and there we'll bow with grateful hearts unto the great I Am. And O great God, be glorified, our lives lay down, yours magnify. And O great God, be lifted high, 'cause there is none like you. Like you.
Stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come in. He is worthy. I think. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands to worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, this is my idea of 4th of July fireworks. And the Holy Ghost fire goes to just moving. Amen. Don't you appreciate the presence of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It breaks my heart as an American citizen, people celebrating 4th of July, going to the lake, and having barbecues and doing this and that and the other. Pass by their yards, they got flags, signs of freedom. And yet you realize our nation is in more slavery than it's ever been. What our founding fathers fought for so many years ago to bring us this freedom. And we're nothing but a bunch of slaves. Slaves to lust, slaves to money, slaves to the things of the world, passions and so on. The only free people are those that are truly born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we don't celebrate that once a year, but every day.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. We greet you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Good to see each of you again. I sure missed you and love you and trust you're doing well during this difficult time that we're all going through. And by the grace of God, we're not just fighting the devil, but we're winning.
Amen.
Amen. We're on the winning side. Let's turn, if you would, tonight again to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Now, we're talking about how great He is, how wonderful He is, and His great power. And we know that His greatness is expressed through humility, simplicity. He does miracles that are so great, I can see them right here tonight. To be honest, I've never seen the expanse of the universe. I get on YouTube and I look at them different things, the stars and all that sort of thing. But in reality, I'm taking those guys' words for it. I'm taking their word for how far it is from here to the moon, how far it is from here to the sun, you know, sell your constellation, so on and so on. I'm taking their word for it. I just trust they're telling me the truth. I'm not sure if they are or not. But I do know this. I know Him. And I have experienced this miracle myself. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Now listen how great He is. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today have I begotten Thee. And He says also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Now I realize that doesn't sound like greatness. That doesn't sound like majesty. That doesn't sound like anything that the world would think would be greatness. You know why? Because they don't understand greatness. Greatness would be what they would think. Oh, how could a God ever go that way? How could He ever allow Himself to be slapped and spit in the face and all that sort of thing? Well, they don't understand greatness. But His idea of greatness was so He could become this, that He might help you through all your difficulties. How many has needs, problems, issues we'd like to take to the Lord tonight in prayer? So many things going on, so many different problems, so many things that are occurring. I didn't hear the prayer request that Brother Louis read, so I'm not sure what he said and what he didn't say. But Brother Tim Burdett had a stroke this week, and we certainly want to remember our brother. Sister Karen Pruitt is still in the hospital. She had a brain bleed because of high blood pressure, and she's still not out of the intensive care unit. Doing some improvement, which we're thankful to the Lord for, but she needs the touch of the Lord to be able to help her. So many needs and things that are going on. Our daughter Erica was in the hospital a couple of days this week, so she's still weak. Certainly appreciate prayers for her. So many that we know in our church, and I know of so many different ones around the world. But our God is so great that He can hear every need of every person and know every request and be able to meet every one of them and not send your package to their address. It's just phenomenal to me how that He can hear all of the cries of His children and be touched by the feelings of our infirmities and still under construction in heaven at the same time. He's the King of multitasking. Now, we barely do good in this day and age to do one thing, don't we? I mean, we get distracted. What was I doing? Where was I going? You head off wide open and say, what was I going to do? I don't even remember what I was. What did I do that for? But He never gets messed up. So hold your request and know that your high priest loves you with all of His being. Lord Jesus, Your love is so great to us. Father God, trying to contemplate it, to understand how great it is for us. As Brother Branham said, people have lost their minds. People have tried their best to write songs that would cover and explain how deep, how profound that it is. Preachers for thousands of years have tried to preach about it and describe how wonderful, how majestic, how powerful that it is. And we've never yet to this day ever barely scratched the surface of how great it is. Lord, I thank You that we have experienced it. I may not be able to describe it very well, and I've spent the majority of my life trying to tell how great You are, how wonderful, how much love You have, how much You loved us. And if I had a life that was three times as long as I have right now, I would want to spend that life, every day of it, living for You, talking about You, trying to get others to see how wonderful You are, Lord Jesus. Father, we bring our needs before You tonight. Your Bible tells us, casting all of our cares on You, for You care for us. We believe that with all of our hearts. Father, our needs are many. You know the prayer requests that were already mentioned, prayers that was offered already. Father, maybe I duplicated them and mentioned them, but Lord, we just bring them before You again. Then, Lord, those that are here tonight that have needs and they just didn't feel to make it known, but it's just as troubling, it's just as disturbing, and they need Your power just as great. Lord, as I'm in contact with people around the world and hearing from people globally every day of my life, Lord God, as a mortal, it becomes so heavy to my heart. It becomes so overwhelming to me as an individual. Lord, with so many of my friends that are going through so much stuff. But I'm so glad that I'm not the one who has to carry all this. I just want to bring it to You tonight. Sickness, trouble, disparity of life, we bring it all to You, Lord. We can't carry it. We can't answer it. But we can pray. And we can also believe. And that's what we do because we are believers. So we bring our burdens, our needs, our requests, our desires, our petitions, and we lay them at Your feet. Lord, we are not going to lay them there and leave them there till the end of the service, pick them up, walk back out of here with a sad, downcast face and feel like, well, we give it to You for 45 minutes or an hour and then we have to pick it back up. We're going to cast our cares on You and we're going to leave them there. God, we pray that You'd help us tonight in the service. Speak to us from Your great Word, Lord. Help me to be able to get out of the way, Father, so You can speak Your love words to Your people tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said, wow. Would you say that for me again?
Amen.
Now, I trust you're not going to stop saying that when I start preaching. God bless you. I love you with all my heart. You can be seated. Let's read again, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I've always loved this scripture since I was a little boy, started reading the Bible at the age of 12. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, gave me a Bible, and you've heard me tell it before, after I got saved, maybe a month or so. And she gave me a Bible and said, I hope I'm alive to hear you preach your first sermon out of it. And of course, then I laughed a little bit as a child. I was just a child, but telling her, I'll never be a preacher. She said, oh, yes, you will. She didn't live long enough to be able to hear me preach. But in reading, I always loved, even as a child, the book of Hebrews. I don't know why, but very little of it did I understand, because the church that I went to, they did their best, I'm sure, with the light that they had. But Hebrews was never a book that they ever, very rarely ever, preached out of. But the older that I get and the more that our age progresses into the shadows of darkness, and our world is being permeated with demons that are coming in every direction against the saints of God, and so much is going on the outside, and so much that's going on from within, This scripture has such a prevalence to me personally as an individual to help me in the time of hour of distress. And the time whenever you pray and you go before God and you know that He's mindful, you know that. You take His word for it. And as I said, that's who we are. We're believers, so we believe. But this one to me is just has a great impact on me. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, I'm sure that our people of America, I know from talking to different people of the secular world that are not really on our level, as we'd say, message people, and even to those inside of the message ranks that aren't personally in behind the veil, it is a very frightening time. It is a very scary time. Financial markets, you know, they're up and down, and we know what the stock exchange does, and can be very, very hopeful on one day and can be very disappointing on the other day. So for people whose hope is in that sort of thing, I imagine they live from day to day, not knowing what the next day will hold. They may gain several points today and lose tens of thousands of dollars tomorrow. For those who are, their hope is in this politician or that politician, for those whose hope is in the freedom of our Constitution and this and that and the other, if you don't know it already, you're as blind as you can be. Several of our freedoms have already been taken away from us. Sure they have. And more will be taken as we go on in time. And the truth of it is, there's nothing we can do to stop it. Well, I'm going to bring a lawsuit against them. Go ahead and waste your money if you want to, but it won't do you any good. But yet, there's only one real place that we can have an anchor of the soul that is steadfast, and that is in the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice in the way that Paul addresses this, he said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil. So the anchor of the believer's soul, his hope of eternal life, actually is not just in heaven. It's not just in streets of gold, walls of jasper, all that is wonderful. But yet, actually, our anchor, as Paul is dealing with the office of the high priest, that our anchor is in the high priest himself, which is entered in behind the veil. and our Messiah, the Lord Jesus, our hope and our anchor is entered into the rock, which is entered in the Holy of Holies, and there we can say, I can rest. So if we get up in the morning and more riots have broke out and they have shot rockets over into the White House and the White House is burned overnight and the presidential suite is destroyed and the Pentagon is destroyed and this and that and the other, which are symbols of strength, of course, of our nation, am I going to take a gun and blow my brains out? No, it would make me feel sad because certainly that's national status and national symbols, but that's not where my anchor lies. My anchor lies no place on this earth in its present condition. My anchor is not in the White House. It is not in the Pentagon. It is not in the Senate. It is not in the Congress. It is nowhere in this earth. Let me just go a little farther. My anchor is not even in Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. Let me go a little farther than that. My anchor is not in the voice of God recordings. My anchor is not even on a natural tape recording or a tape which can be burned and annihilated. Who knows? One day they may take our tapes, our MP3s. I don't have no idea where this thing is going to go. So therefore, my anchor of my soul is not there. My anchor tonight is in heaven. And guess what? No riots allowed in heaven. No politicians can give their speeches in heaven. They might burn our building. They might take away our rights. But if our rights are anchored only here in this life, we're in a mess of trouble. But the anchor of our soul is in heaven. Can we not be affected by the things that are going on around us? Of course we are. Because this is our nation, and we know the prophet said it was the best in the world, and we cannot see what happens to our nation and not be affected within our hearts. But friends, we've talked about this for decades. We've said it was coming for decades, and here we are living in the very fulfillment of things that we've talked about. But yet, notice in what Paul says now in verse 20, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice here that he gives the Lord Jesus a very peculiar title in the office of high priest. And that is, he identifies him as being a forerunner. Whether the forerunner is for us, enter. Now, this is so different than the Aaronic order by which the Aaronic priest would enter in, not as an act as a forerunner, but he come in as a substitute for the entirety of the children of Israel. All 12 tribes, where he bore the names and the birthstones, of course, on his ephod, and as he dressed in, one man represented the entirety of the nation. But he was there as a representative. He was not there as a pioneer of their faith. But notice what Paul calls the Lord Jesus. He does not say that he's one that goes in just in our stead, but he is the forerunner which is going in front of us. Meaning that more and more and more and more of the same order are going to be allowed to enter in where? The Holy of Holies. Now think of it, those of us that are Gentiles that were not even allowed except just in the outer court of the Jewish temple, and if we were, by pangs of death, they had it written up on a sign. And any Gentiles that entered beyond this court, it would be at pangs of death and at your own merit that you would die. Now that was a warning that was on Herod's temple. So they knew better than to go in. But now the Lord Jesus is not under the Levitical order or the Aaronic order, but under the order of Melchizedek, and foreran us as the sons and daughters of God, signifying that we would have the right to go before him in the time of trouble. Boy, I'm sure glad for that in the hour we're living. Now, he led the way. Paul says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, he went in for us and before us. For for us and before us. So the Aaronic priest did not enter in and said, well, I'm going in and then Louie can come in, then Brad can come in, and then Sarah, and then Carol, and then Barbara. No, that's not the way it was. Because he did not have sufficient blood, sufficient sacrifice in order to make a way for the rest of Israel. But the Lord Jesus was going to settle this once and for all. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Now he picks up, of course, the natural order by which a man would go in, and he might go in 10, 15 times in a span of his life, maybe 20 times, and then what would happen by natural succession, he would die, and then his son or nephew would come in and would keep on going, on going, on going. But he says here, watch in verse 23, but this man, now would you notice how he does not place the priesthood of the Lord Jesus in a theophanic order or an angelic order, but an order of a glorified human being. Now this is after his death, burial, and resurrection, and Paul is still identifying the resurrected Lord Jesus as a man. This is important for you because it will help you to know when you go before him, he relates to your trouble. He relates to your anxiety. Oh yeah, I hate to go to him, Brother Donnie. I've got so much. I understand. I go to him every day and I've got so much on me that I think, Lord, have mercy. Oh God, you see this request, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. Lord, these brothers in India, the people contacting me from Africa, from India, from all over the world with all kinds of prayer requests. And I think, Lord, what about me? And then all the other preachers and all the other people. But you know what? I've come to realize he wants to hear every one of them. And I'm not overtaxing him. It's not like he's got a shortage of grace, that he's got a shortage of goodness or a shortage of mercy, but he wants to hear all of my requests and all of yours and all of yours and all of those of you that are streaming 10,000 at one time, and he can hear them all and sort through them all and answer them all according to his divine purpose. That's a mighty God, is it not? Notice, but he said, but this man, because he continuous ever hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now notice the Lord Jesus is there as a priest, but he's not after a theophanic order. He's not there after an angelic order, but it is after the order of a man that is glorified. But think of it, in heaven, when you listen to things that ought to be, and you'll hear Brother Branham as he goes through, and he said, now I do not think that heaven is the place that my mother used to tell me about, or the conception would all float around on clouds and play harps and things like that. He said that was a conception 100 years ago, or he said years ago before the opening of the seven seals. But he said it's a place we're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to live, we're going to work, we're going to enjoy life. Can you imagine life to where that we eat, we drink, we work, we love? Now, I don't think work, that it'll be laborious and hard and sweating and will be wore out. You'll work and you'll do things around your house. Brothers, them honeydews don't never end. I mean, you've got them through eternity. We'll work and we'll enjoy and we'll love and we'll laugh. See, it's good to see you all smile tonight. We will laugh and we will joy. Heaven is not just this super, super, super spiritual atmosphere and everybody goes around like this all the time and everybody is in a dream or a vision, you know, and we're just, no, it's a continuation of this same life. We will gather and we will eat and we will laugh and we will talk and we will worship and we will sing. Oh, my, praise God. You talking about life, brother, sister. And what will it be? We will be there in glorified human bodies. And our Lord Jesus is still so much human that Paul identifies him as the mediator, as a man. And here he identifies him still as a man. Why? Because he's the head of this new race. And when all this new race gathers together, we're not going to be angels. Oh, I want to be an angel. I don't. God never made me an angel. God made made me a man. I want to be a glorified man. That's what I want to be. The Lord Jesus did not want to maintain just an angelic appearance. He had that in the Old Testament. But that was not the fullness of God's attribute of what he wanted to become himself. God wanted to become a human being, but not just stay an ordinary human being in the realm of mortality, but God wanted to become an immortal human being. Oh Lord, an immortal human being. God wanted to live a mortal life in a human body and then take that body and glorify it to a stage beyond what Adam had in the Garden of Eden. And this was God's purpose. This is God's goal. And there ain't nothing going to stop it, brother, sister. Nothing is going to stop it. This is what God wants. Notice this, but this man, because he continuous ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Oh, listen to this, verse 25, I love this. Wherefore he is able also to save, sozo, them to the uttermost, all complete, perfect, completely, utterly. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. There's one way. Amen. Come unto God by him. Amen. You can meditate till you turn into a pumpkin. You'll never get to heaven. Amen. You can do all the Hindu things. You can do all of the things that man tells you to do. There's only one way to come to God. You can know Islam. You can quote the Quran frontwards and backwards. You'll never get to heaven by confessing that Muhammad was a prophet. You come through Christ Jesus or you go to hell. Well, I'm trying to live a pretty good life. I'm trying to take nicotine patches. Brother Donnie, I'm trying to do this and the other. Be a pretty good person. I'm going to AA and I'm going to BB and CC and DD. Hell, you know what a lot of people do when they do that? They're trying to work their way in. You'll never get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Sure, you need some type of nerve medicine. My goodness, take it. If you got a bellyache, drink you some Pepto-Bismol. You got a headache, take you an aspirin. But don't put nothing in front of the plan of God. That's right. Sure, we're sensible. We got enough sense to know God placed these things in the earth. But everything that you try on your own to make a substitute for the work, for the plan, for the great interventions of our God, you might as well forget it. It'll only wind you farther and farther away from God. God wants us to accept the fact that we are totally lost in this world without him. We absolutely have no way of being completely satisfied without him. We can't have real joy. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. We can't have real peace without him. We can't have real satisfaction without him. And the devil will try everything in this world to put it in front of you and him and put a substitute in your life. But you need to lay them substitutes over on the side and say, Lord Jesus, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I'm not trying this. I'm not doing that. I'm coming to you with an open heart. Take this evil thing out of me, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Wherefore, as he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing. Boy, you're talking about something to me. He ever liveth. This is what he lives for. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Those of you that got kids, oh, I live for my kids. Then they get married and they get grandkids. Oh, I live for my grandkids. I take them to soccer. I take them to baseball. I take them to football. I take them to here. I take them to there. I go to the dentist. I go to the orthodontist. I go here. I go there. I just live for my kids. I run a taxi. Mom's taxi. Grandma's taxi. You know, I go here. I live for my kids. I live for that. But Jesus lives. Think of it. He ever liveth for this purpose, to make intercession for you.
then my friend, it does not wear him out. It does not exhaust him. Whenever we go to him, I don't know about you, but in the last 4 or 5 months, I've went to him more and more and more. I wake up in the night, he's on my heart, the requests are on my heart. I wake up before daylight, oh my goodness, all during the day, I go without ceasing praying. And I know that he said, oh no, here comes Donnie again. He said, what you got this time, son? What do you need? What's on your prayer list today? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You're talking about great for all the stars, how big they are, how wonderful and how large the universe is. That's all well and good, but I need a God with skin. I need a God, hallelujah, a God that wherever he left this earth and he's there in heaven, he's able to hear, God, I got a headache. God, I feel so bad today. God, I don't feel good. God, I'm down on my spirit. And he ever liveth to make intercession for me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He constantly presents the merits of his own life to prove why I should be allowed to enter into paradise. He undertakes my cause. He helps me to live for him. And then he's going to reward me for doing it. He inspires me to preach. He inspires me to lay hands on his sick children. And then he'll reward me for my years of service that he helped me do. And he ain't just doing me that way, he's doing you the same way. He helps me to live a victorious, overcoming life. And then when I get there, he said, blessed are they that overcome. Come into the joys of the Lord. You overcome. You went through hell. You fought all the battles. Come on in. I'm going to give you rewards. You're thinking, really? I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even get up. I wouldn't even want to face another day without you, Lord. And you're going to reward me for what you helped me do? That's great. Oh, hallelujah. He gives us grace and strength and the will to press on when sometimes this thing, we're so exhausted that we don't know if we can put one foot in front of the other. But our anchor is sure, tied to the rock and behind the veil. Notice in verse 26, for such an high priest became us, was fitted to our condition, praise God, fit to our character and our circumstances, who is holy, harmless, undefiled. Now he wasn't just holy on the outside. My, them high priests, boy, they could walk around and boy, they wouldn't let nobody touch them, anybody get close to them. They'd go home and wash their hands from up to the, you know, up to the elbow here, and if they got near a Gentile, they'd change their garment. Oh, you low down sorry sinners, you. But the Lord Jesus, you imagine a woman with an issue of blood come up and touch his garment. It didn't rebuke her the way a Pharisee would. So the sinners come up to him with a palsy and with all kinds of horrible things. And Jesus would pray for them and touch them, lay his hands on people with diseases and all types of infirmities. Hallelujah. But he was the holiest being that ever lived on the earth or that ever existed in heaven. He was not only holy, but he was what Paul called harmless. Isn't that amazing? He never injured one person. Now think of this. He never injured one person. He never injured their name, their character, or their property. Jesus never got among the people and tried to run this person down, and, you know, twist the truth just a little bit and kind of shade this person's character so that people would think higher of him and less of them. Or you say he rebuked the Pharisees. Oh, but he was only telling what they were. He was only telling the way they lived. Is that right? But Jesus never took his position to run anyone down. He never harmed anyone. There's never been another mortal that has ever lived on the face of this earth that could make such a statement. If he does, he's a liar. But our Lord Jesus could say, I was holy, I was harmless, I was undefiled, I was separate from sinners. Sounds like the right sacrifice to me. Think of it. He never injured nobody's name, their honor, their reputation, character, or their property. Praise God. Undefiled by sin or by evil. Never done one person wrong. And think of it. He still hasn't. He's dealt with millions since Calvary till now. Oh, but he's going to send people to hell. No, no. He's only bringing out the way they're living. They're living like hell, and he's sending them to their home. He offers them the way out, but they've absolutely refused to accept it. Now, he was separate from sinners. Isn't that amazing? That he got around them, and the scribes and the Pharisees said, how come your master breaks bread with sinners? Oh, prostitutes hung around him. Drunks, liars. But the good thing about it was they didn't stay prostitutes. They didn't stay drunks and liars. His reputation was made among folks like that. Some of us ought to say amen to that. But he was as good to them as he was those who felt like they did not need. Oh, they come to him one day and say, how come you're doing this? He said, it's not the well that need the physician, but it's the sick. Oh, harmless, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Who need us not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Can you imagine? He's the only being that could ever do this, that he was both priest and sacrifice, and he could offer himself in both offices at the same time. Now, he was above the rest of the world and yet became so low that he allowed himself to take sin upon himself. Now, the Jewish high priest was a sinful man, had a sinful nature. He was just as wicked. Some of them, we know from reading history, they were as wicked, if not more wicked, than the laity was in that time. Yet whenever the Lord Jesus came, he need not offer a sacrifice for himself. He was harmless, sinless, undefiled. This is your high priest. Notice in the last phrase of that verse 27, for this he did once when he offered up himself. So he don't have to do it day after day after day, week after week, year after year. But he offered up himself, spirit, soul, and body, voluntarily in the stead of those who will receive him. So the justice of God was satisfied in this person called our high priest. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, but they did the same thing over and over and over and over again. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience or desire of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So the worshiper would write down his sins and he'd come up in the same routine over and over and over again. Maybe initially they were sincere. Maybe, oh God, thank you so much. And then it got to, okay, all right, so we got to go to the sacrifice. Let's get a turtle dove. Let's get a lamb. Let's do it and get it over with. Hurry up. I'm sick of this. I'm busy. I've got a big field that needs to be plowed. I need to go shopping. I need to go here. So they'd go in and do it. Let's go. Can we go now? Can we go? Are you done, gibberish? Are you done? Have you done offered the sacrifice? Are you done preaching? Can we go now? I'm busy. And by the time the Lord Jesus came, God said, your offering is a stink to me. Oh God, children, may we never get that way when it comes to our walk with God, our prayer life, our reading of the Word, our church life before the Lord. My, but what would they do? Then every time they would offer it each year, it reminded them of last year and the year before, because their conscience could not be purged. Oh my. Look at this in verse 11. And every priest standeth daily. Notice his position. Standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set. The Old Testament priest never sat down. There were no chairs in the tabernacle. There were no chairs in the temple, because his work was never done. So he constantly stood over and over and over and over again. Not this one. He's got a chair. It ain't just a chair. It's a throne. Oh, setting is one thing. But also, where you set has great relevance. Notice this. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So now we have a high priest. So it's settled, it's proved, it's undisputable, because several people, of course, after his death, burial, resurrection, saw him there, that it was regarded as completely so done. The sacrifice was offered once, and the sacrifice was so complete in the justice of God that the Lord Jesus does not have to offer himself over and over and over again, but now he enters into the office of high priest. But the posture changed, that he can sit down in the right hand of the majesty. Notice this. He is not standing back and forth and back and forth. Oh, hallelujah. But it is a sign of his acceptance. And if he is accepted, brother, sister, it means you are. If he is accepted, it means you are, because it shows the work of the high priest. We're not talking about a man standing before the men. We're talking about a glorified human being. Amen. Before the eternal himself. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this. He is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty. So he's not just seated, but actually seated in the Father's throne. Praise be to God. Now remember, only Melchizedek bore this image of the titles of king and priest. So to sit in the throne is an expression of possession, of sovereignty and power. This is why I said in Matthew 28, lo, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And the church said, what's this? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Colossians 3:1. If ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, set on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you reckon you're going to make it, honey. Reckon you're barely going to squeak through the gates. Your high priest has sat down. As far as he's concerned, it's the finished work. Notice in the third seal, the prophet said, he's been doing the work of the kinsman redeemer. But there will come a time. Now notice, for some of the brothers who preached them when the seals was open, that time was over and there's no more mercy. You know, there's still preachers that still preach that in the message, that you can't be saved after 63. They need the Holy Ghost. That's their main problem. They need the Holy Ghost. But there will come a time. He didn't say it's now. But there will come a time when the redeeming work will be over. And everybody that got saved after that ought to be shouting glory. And when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves the throne of God where he's seated now. But that's not his throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. That is not his throne. That is, listen, I describe this, that belongs to Spirit God, Christ the Lamb. It doesn't belong to him. He is the incarnate God. See, which is the same God made incarnate. Notice again, identified Christ. Then when he died, rose, ascended, and sent back the Holy Spirit, that was the Son of God. God is a Spirit, and through the church age, it's been the Son of God. Then in the millennium, it's Son of David sitting on the throne, ruling. He has ascended up. He that overcomes will sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father. He is sitting on the Father's throne now. How in the world can a priest be on a throne as king? How in the world can he be sitting on a kingly throne, the Father's throne? And think of it now, the saints of God have not yet crowned him as far as being the king into this dispensation, and yet he's sitting on King God, King Spirit's throne. Praise God. But in the millennium, he sits upon his throne because he is the Son of David. He is Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Praise the Lord. Notice again, mighty God, but in the millennium he comes as Son of David to sit on the throne of David. King to sit upon the throne of David. King, oh hallelujah, throne of David, King. He was to take the throne of David. He's on the Father's throne now. Notice, so there's not an old man sitting up there, which is God, and he's got a throne that over is this little boy, this young sort of fella, and he's got a little bitty tiny throne. He's sitting over here on the side all screwing stuff in this little bitty old throne. But actually the embodiment, what is Jesus? The incarnate God. So it's Spirit God in human form. In a glorified existence. And he's sitting on the Spirit's throne. Now remember, it's all got to do with the dispensation and the title. So it is the Father's throne. Now it is the Father's throne. It's not the son of David. It is not in the millennium. Neither is it the eighth day setting. But he's sitting on the Father's throne. Oh, he is on the Father's throne. And he said, he that overcometh will sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat on my Father's throne. So in the millennium, he'll be Son of David. What is it? Same God all the time. Just changing his mask. Now I'm sure we can all relate to changing masks, can't we? How many of you sisters got? How many colors you got? You got white for one outfit, beige for another outfit, green for a green outfit, purple for a purple outfit. So what do? We change our masks. Oh my, y'all hopefully wore them when you come in. Then you come in, you sit down, you take them off, and then you get ready to file out. What do? Put it back on again. And you notice, have you ever noticed how now that we've been wearing these masks, have you noticed how much more attention you pay to somebody's eyes? Why? Because their nose and their mouth is covered up. So what do you pretty much see? Unless they wear it down here, which some people do, which makes no sense at all to me. But anyway, what do you look at? You look at their eyes. Now it depends on what part of him is masked. Well, you see, he wore the mask, but he took it off in front of his bride because the mask hid him from the world. And whenever he put on the mask of sonship, then they looked at him and said, it must be another God. It must be another person. But he pulled it down far enough and the bride saw his eyes and said, no, it ain't. That's the eyes of the I Am. Oh, hallelujah. It's not another person in the Godhead. It's the very same one. He's just changing his mask. Watch this question and answers. Now we move into eternity in the eighth day. On top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb. The city will need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos God. The great light, the eternal light that will shine just above the throne. So this is the effigy. This is the excellent glory that Moses entered into. That was the portion of the Shekinah, the Father. So in eternity, this is what you'll behold all through eternity. The man, Jesus Christ, the human body glorified. And before him, up above him, all around him, the emanating presence will be who? Father God. Which is not a man, but spirit. Not two people. The very same person that issued out of himself this attribute which brought you there. You see, without that, we could not stand before him. If that was not on the throne of God, I could not stand here and preach. Brother Louis could not stand here and lead the singing. These musicians would done be dead. God would have killed them years ago because of the faults in their lives and the shortcomings in their life. Then none of us would even be alive tonight. But how are we alive? Because, hallelujah, of the mediatorial work of the man Christ Jesus. How does God hear my prayers when I'm a mortal like you are? How does God hear your prayer and yet look at you and say, I hear only the voice of the Lord Jesus? I see that sacrifice. How could he do it? That one on the throne. It was the attribute of himself that stood between himself and us. Not another person, but an attribute of himself. So he projected this condescended work out of his own being to stand between us and himself. Praise be to God. Why in the world wouldn't anybody want to love him? No. Notice this. And the Father will hover over the Son. What's the Father and the Son will be one. And while they're yet speaking, I'll answer. While they're yet speaking, I'll answer. You know what? We get a little touch of that every now and then down here. I got a text from one of the brothers at the church after service on Wednesday night. And he said, Brother Donnie, he said, I can't tell you what that service meant to me. He said, because I was praying today, God, I pray you'll move on Brother Donnie's heart and let him preach where we are. Let him preach the conditions of where we are so it can give us hope, Lord. Hallelujah. You imagine? Before he even prayed the prayer, the Lord had already been dealing with me. I spoke to him after I walked off the platform here Sunday as I was going through the door there. And the Spirit of God, before he even prayed the prayer, he didn't know what the Lord spoke to me and I was going through the door. He didn't know what I was already studying. And before he ever prayed the prayer, the Lord already had the answer in the making. Don't quit praying. Give up. Hallelujah. He may already have your answer on the way. Hallelujah. Oh my. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Abraham and Sarah was going through their great difficult time, and the prophet said she got up that day all fussing and all upset. And well, I'll tell you, Lot's wife looked so pretty the other day. I seen her down there. And the prophet said, little did they know that God was right down the road. God had breathed into a body. Come here, Gabriel. Come here, Michael. Oh, hallelujah. And said they was having the worst thing. You ever had bad moods around y'all's house? I'll say you do because you're mortal. You ever get up and my semi, everything in the world goes wrong from the start of the day. You say, I want to go back to bed, get back up again and start over. Y'all ever have them days? Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't feel so crazy no more. Sarah was in a bad mood. Abraham all upset. And God was right around the bend in the road. Keep on praying, saints. Keep on believing. Oh, notice when the mediatorial work is done, finished after the millennium, Jesus will commit a perfect age, a perfect living God that he has redeemed and give over to the Father and will turn to God the Father, which is spirit, not a man's spirit. All nature of goodness gathered together. That's God. God is not a man. He's all nature of goodness and majesty and wonder. Oh, glory. Hebrews 8:1 again. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the tally. This is the bottom figure on the line. We have such an high priest. So you have the goodness of God, deduct all your shortcomings, all of this and that and the other, and the bottom line is still what? This is the bottom line. This is it right here. We have such an high priest. So you take all of our sins, all of our faults, all of our shortcomings, all of our wrongdoing, all of our weakness, and you put it all on one side, and you take the grace of God and you subtract all of that from it, and the bottom line is this. We have such a high priest. Who is set? So Jesus in a prayer. Where's my Xanax? Where's my Xanax? This is how tore up he is. It's working. It's a success. My children are overcoming. They're living in hell, the greatest battle that's ever been fought. And they're fighting. They're overcoming. Praise God. You see, the right hand, it doesn't actually mean that God's got a left hand or a right hand. But it's a significant place of honor. And of course, the language is figurative. God does not have a hand or eyes or ears or hair or anything like that as we know. What's this? Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 17:7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand. So Jesus is the expression of God's right hand. From the right hand come pleasures forevermore. From the right hand, according to this place here, comes salvation from the right hand. Psalms 20:6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 63:8. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand. How come not the left hand? My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Psalms 98:1. A psalm. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath got him. Notice what's taking place from the emergence of the right hand. Salvation, joy, deliverance. And it's all coming from where? The right hand. So Jesus sits down where? In the significance of the metaphor? The right hand. Why? Strength, salvation, power, peace. It's still coming from the right hand, which is the Lord Jesus. Notice his right hand, his holy arm, has gotten him the victory. Psalms 110, verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. Set thou at my right hand. Now, this is the scripture that Jesus quoted to them smart message folks in that day. They thought they knew so much about it. Jesus quoted this scripture to them and said, how can he be the Lord if he's David's son? Now, you see, even some of those in our message that read this scripture, and they try to make two lords out of it. They need the Holy Ghost. If you read this scripture and get two lords, please pray till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will lead you into the spirit of truth, not the spirit of error. Amen. They don't see who this is. The Lord. Notice the difference in the spelling. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah Adonai. Said unto my, capital L, small O, small R, small D. Amen. What is it? A condescension from the great Adonai. So the invisible said to the visible, sit here under the administration of my right hand. Amen. Until I make your enemies your footstool. Then whenever his enemies become the footstool of the Lord Jesus, then the condescended work of God will turn the kingdom over back to the eternal, because everyone that's redeemable has been redeemed. And now in that great day, we will be able to walk before the eternal, and we will no longer need a mediator. We will no longer need someone to say, God be merciful, God forgive them, God forgive them. No, we will absolutely have entered into immortality, and we'll be able to walk before that Shekinah, and the justice of God will be met, and he will not kill us. Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Psalms 118:16, thy right hand of the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And here is the sum. Romans 8:1. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty, or the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And what was the true tabernacle? A human body. The true tabernacle was not badger skins, shittim wood, acacia, gold, silver, but the Lord pitched the perfect tabernacle. What was it? A man. And Jesus is a minister in the sanctuary of the house of God. Here we go. Through his glorified body, he enters into the presence of God and then starts forming a mystical body, which every believer that receives the Holy Ghost is baptized into. Please don't misunderstand me. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you actually become a minister in your tabernacle. So what do you do as a priest? You pray. You ask for mercy. Glory to God. And as a bride, you minister to your husband. So what do? You become baptized into the mystical body of Christ. You are kings and priests unto the Most High God. Glory to God. So we become ministers. Who are we ministering to? We minister to each other, yes. But we are ministering to our husband. The setting is Psalms 45. And I'll close with this. Which was a psalm that David wrote for the marriage of Solomon. As Solomon married the daughter of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And the psalm was written. He must have marveled as he wrote it and thought, why did I say that? Because in the psalm, David says, thy throne, O God, is a scepter forever. So here is the eternal calling the Son God. And Paul, we'll get to it, Lord willing, in the morning. Paul quotes this psalm. Thy throne, O God. And the eternal is calling the attribute body God. For those poor ignoramuses in the message that say Jesus wasn't God, you need to go back to first base and just start reading your Bible over again. If the eternal called him God, to me it's without argument. Notice in the setting, when you go from verse 1 and verse 2 and you come down the gold of Ophir, and here he is and he puts him, oh my, he runs the parallel between Solomon and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And he has the Lord Jesus dressed there as the mighty God. But he doesn't have on a diadem. He does not have on a king's garment. But he actually has on a bridegroom's garment. And then he goes from there into describing the bride. Let's stand. I know y'all are mad in a hornet right now. You're ready to smack me. Oh, hallelujah. Thy throne, oh God, is a scepter forever. And after God pronounces this upon him, the scene changes. And he becomes a married man. And the bride stands before him. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 45, if you don't know it, answers actually to the Song of Solomon. It's a parallel to the bride's love and her adoration to her husband and submission by having the clothes that he sent to her to put on. And he said, the king greatly desires thy beauty. After Spirit God names him God, he's given a bride. Praise the Lord Jesus. Aren't you ashamed to worship him, Brother Donnie? I would be ashamed if I didn't worship him. Oh, I know some of these preachers say Jesus ain't got no angels. He ain't got no power. Friends, you're talking about a bunch of Tommy Rotten nonsense that's around our message. And what's it come from? A bunch of preachers that didn't have the Holy Ghost. They're listening to tapes and they're interpreting the Word and they're not born again. They don't know how to handle the Word of God. If he ain't God, we're all lost and going to hell. He wasn't one of the gods. He was the mighty God. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Whatever you're dealing with, oh, I feel it from you. I feel it from you. You're troubled, you got sorrows and difficulties, but remember, you have such a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. How in the world can he hear all these human prayers? I know for myself, maybe I get up of a morning and, you know, the first 15 minutes, everything's okay, which is really unusual for a human in this day. First 15 minutes is good, and then I go check my phone. Something happened during the night, you know, this person got sick, this one, this, or, you know, text or email, or somebody in India. Somebody in Africa, their father died, or they're sick, they're stricken with this, that, and the other, hit them in their home, and they want prayer immediately. You can't tell me that don't affect us. It does. It does affect us. But I'm so glad that these people, you people, aren't looking to me to take care of your needs. We're looking to him. You're just simply looking to me as your shepherd, as your pastor, to try to speak words of encouragement, offer prayers for you, right? Which I'm going to do as long as I have breath. But you're not looking to me to meet your needs. You're not looking to me, your brothers and sisters, your husband or your wife. You're looking to the Lord Jesus today. There's a great rest in us understanding we cannot do these things. All I can do is my part. Check on people, pray for them, right? And leave it with the Lord. He don't need sleep. I do. They don't need me setting up all night. They don't need you setting up all night. Any of y'all ever got anything out of worry? Worry has no virtue. Why do we still do it? Because we're humans. Is that right? Oh, what a rest it would be if we as the people of God would be affected by trouble, be affected by sorrow. But instead of laying those burdens there for a few minutes and taking them back home with us,
We leave them right there with the Lord. Lord, this is bigger than me. I cannot do it. I just can't do it. I've tried and I've made it worse. I've done this and I've made it worse. I'm winding myself farther and farther away from you. Everything I do. So I'll tell you what, Lord, you're going to be up all night anyway. I'm going to lay this at your feet. And I'm going to apply that sermon that Brother Darrell preached a few weeks ago about your sleep being sweet. I'm going to bed, Jesus. I'll see you in the morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him? Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for loving us. Lord God, the sacrifice part of your work is finished. The posture of your body proves to us the eternal is satisfied with the sacrifice. But yet you ever live to make intercession for us. Lord, how many is on my heart tonight? So many, Father, that I just don't want to even speak the names of all of them that are sick and afflicted and Father, so many around the world still being affected by this COVID thing, Lord. Dear God, overseas in different parts of the world, Father, bring deliverance to your people, Lord. Satan fighting the ministry, Satan fighting the homes, fighting marriages, fighting the church of the living God like never before. Oh, Lord God. And we know the darkest hour comes right before the break of the day. We must be getting close, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking I'm bringing more on you than what you want. Because of my position, Lord, I've been in contact with so many people. Lord, and hundreds of requests and things weekly. Lord, it weighs on me. I think, God, I didn't even want to talk to you today about needs. I just wanted to come and love you. I just wanted to come and praise you. But Lord, I feel bad if I don't speak them to you. But Lord, this has helped me. This has helped me, Father, because the position I'm in, I get bombarded with them. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking I was being a trouble to you. Help me, Jesus, to bring them. Daily, Lord. Seeing that you ever live to make intercession for us. Praise God. We love you, Father. Don't you appreciate Him, saints? Reconciliation through kenosis. How is this great victory attained? By Him being willing to submit Himself to the death of the cross. Not only to die the death of a man, but a wicked man. The death of a sinner. Praise God. So that we would never have to die that death. I'll never die the death of a sinner. I'll never die death out of the presence of God. Whether I go by cancer, car wreck, whatever it would be, I'll never die out of His presence because the Lord Jesus did that for me. I'll never see hell. As close as I'll come to see it is Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot. That's as close as I want. He went to hell and took your place so you don't have to. Brother Louis, come bless us, buddy, with some singing. Can we worship Him a little bit before we go?
Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother.
He suffered so you could...
Amen. Lord. I'm walking towards it. You walk towards yours. Whatever it is, you walk towards it. It's there waiting. Praise the Lord. Sing it, buddy. We have to sing. Thank you, Lord. Did you enjoy the word tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls.
Oh, yes, he does.
He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small, he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name.
Yes, you are.
He loves me.
you feel His presence among you tonight. Church, you can't put a price on that. It's priceless. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this as we get ready to leave tonight. Hadn't it been good to be in church? Have you enjoyed church tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken. Strength when I've been weakened. Forever He will reign.
Oh, my God is awesome.
He is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome.
He is awesome.
Oh, He's awesome.
Someday gather around.
Jesus comes to live.